Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome. This is the Paul Ryder Tapes.
I'm Angela Smith. I'm the ex-wife of Paul Ryder. As everybody knows, he passed away tragically in July of 2022. But in the months leading up to his death, he sat down with me and we spent hours and hours recording his life story. We had no idea that he was going to die so soon, and literally we finished recording this podcast 12 days before he died.
Coming up in this episode,
it must have been a Thursday night, 8 years old, and David Bowie comes on doing Starman with a big blue acoustic guitar. I'd never seen a blue guitar before in my life. And he looked like he'd stepped out of another world. And it was like my life changed at that moment.
We were watching the gig at the arena, and then all of a sudden I said to you, "Oh, it's raining in."
Yeah.
And it wasn't raining in. It was something very nasty.
Yeah.
What?
Well, we were down below and it's somebody up above. Couldn't be bothered going to the toilet.
Go to the toilet.
Just got a shiver down my spine there. He's fucking here, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he is.
Oh, just got a really cold shivers. Oh, that's fucking weird.
Really?
Ooh.
Right, go on, start. Getting grilled off my ex-wife for a podcast.
Okay, are we ready? Are we recording already? Okay. Do we need a disclaimer at the beginning? We don't, do we? Are we going to be talking about, like, are we going to be using naughty words and talking about sex? Because if so, we have to do a disclaimer. Should we just do one anyway, just
do
in case?
Do one, because I'm a swearer.
All right, so, warning, this podcast may involve some naughty words and maybe some talk about drugs, maybe some graphic talk about drug use, and maybe a bit of sex, actually, let's be honest. I mean, come on, you've not led exactly a monk-style life, have you? So, okay, warning, this podcast might not be suitable for everybody. And I find, actually, when we do announcements like that at the beginning, it means more people want to listen anyway.
Oh, that sounds good. But okay. I'm definitely a swearer, so I'm glad you've done a disclaimer.
All right, brilliant. So, welcome to the Paul Ryder podcast.
Hi.
No, I wasn't saying welcome to you. I was saying welcome to the listeners.
Oh, welcome, welcome, listeners.
So, this is the Paul Ryder podcast with Paul Ryder, who is the bass player of the Happy Mondays. I said that wrong because it's not the Happy Mondays, is it? It's just Happy Mondays.
It's just Happy Mondays.
Yes. And me, Angela Smith, who's actually the ex-wife of said Paul Ryder, bass player of the Happy Mondays. And the reason that we're doing this is because Paul, for a long, long time, has been saying, I need to write a book. But he doesn't actually like writing. So I suggested that instead of him actually writing a book, he could talk a book in a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, but you'll have to ask me questions. I was like, right, well, I can do that. So that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that makes you feel like you need to write a book?
Well, there's been a lot of rumours, exaggeration, stuff that's been made up. There's a lot of stuff to put right.
Okay.
And I think it's time.
Time to set the record straight.
Like, one big thing is that we didn't send factory records under. The Mondays never did that. Factory went bust owing us nearly £1 million.
Really? I never knew that.
Yeah, 800,000.
Really? Well, we'll get to that later on, because I think what we're going to do is talk chronologically from the very beginning. We want all the details, all the micro details of your life and the story and the real truth about the story of the Mondays, what really happened, who the characters in the Mondays really are, and all those legends and myths that people have seen in movies. We want to know which bits are true and which aren't, because we know that a lot of it's based on truth, but there's also some exaggeration.
A lot of exaggeration.
So this is really where you're going to get the real truth about the story of the Happy Mondays.
Yeah, if you want to know the truth, keep listening.
We're going to be talking about some sensitive topics. We're going to be talking about drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's been very vocal about his struggle with addiction, and I have been at the sharp end of that. So
yes, you was.
I know.
Have I made amends for that yet?
I don't think you've fully made amends. Do you think you ever can? So we're going to be talking about drug addiction. We're going to be talking about all the various ways and things you did to try and combat your drug addiction. We're going to be talking about infidelity.
Oh.
this is revenge time for me, isn't it? We're going to be talking about children. We're going to be talking about our son who had cancer and had an extraordinary journey with that. But really, more than anything else, we're going to be talking about the Happy Mondays. And
you did it again. You said the.
I know. I'm sorry. It's a really hard word. It's a hard name to not put a the in front of, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've always thought that.
Yeah. You can say that if you want. I don't mind.
Okay. In fact, we're going to jump to. We will go to the very beginning in a second. But there's been a huge legal battle over who owns the name and who came up with the name, and lots of people have different opinions about that. So do you want to start off by absolutely putting the record straight about who came up with the name and what happened?
I came up with the name and it came about through an Echo and the Bunnymen song, The Cutter. There's a line in there that says, by the happy loss, and we was called The Happy Loss for like 4 days.
I never knew that.
Yeah. But we kept the word happy, and for some reason I changed it to Mondays. Instead of The Happy Loss, it became Happy Mondays.
And is that like a nod and a wink to the fact that you don't have to do a boring day job so that you don't dread Monday anymore?
Oh, I never thought of it like that.
Really, all these years, that's why I thought the band was called that, because suddenly you get to be happy on a Monday.
It's all down to Ian McCulloch.
I blame
Ian McCulloch.
I've been playing Echo and the Bunnymen on repeat for the last 3 months when I drive. It's weird. I've
loved the Bunnymen.
Rediscovered them again.
I saw them last year. They was playing the same festival as the Mondays.
Yeah.
And it was great. I stood at the side of the stage and watched the Bunnymen.
Nice.
Incredible.
Yeah, McCulloch's still got it.
Yeah, Gaz said to him, best band in the world, and McCulloch turned around and said, I know.
Did he? That's cool. All right, so let's go right back to the very beginning. There have been lots of things written about you growing up homeless in Withenshaw and various things. So you were born in
1964.
Okay, you were born in 64.
Mine's in Salford.
Okay, what kind of house did you grow up in?
It was There was houses that was built, made into an estate for the Salford slum clearance. When it was clearing all the slums of Salford and putting people in council houses that was just freshly been built in the late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a council estate, and everybody had come from Salford, the middle of Salford, to a place called Little Hulton, where it used to be farmland, and they built all these huge estates for the Salford overspill. And my grandparents got a house there, and I was born in that house on Coniston Avenue.
You're actually born at home?
Yeah.
Was that like a planned home? Because that was pretty radical in those days, to be born at home.
Well, my mum had Sean at home as well, same house. We were both born in the same house.
Why did she decide to have you at home?
I have no idea, I don't know.
We need to ask her, don't we?
We need to ask her, yeah. We'll make sure that's the first question.
Well, in those days, they didn't let fathers at the birth. And Derek wanted to be there with both of them. And I absolutely horrified my mother. No, I'm not having that, she said, unless you come to my house and have them. So we had our own house near Bolton. My mum lived in Little Hulton at the time before she moved here. And so nearly 3 weeks before they were both born, we went and stayed at my mother's, so Derek could be at the birth of both of them.
That's pretty radical, though, for the 60s, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like everyone else had babies in hospitals in those days.
Yeah, you had to go into hospital, but I suppose it was pretty kind of radical.
Yeah. So you were living with your parents and your grandparents when you were born?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I'm learning things too. I really didn't know that. Right.
Yeah, all on Coniston Avenue in a little three-bedroom house.
And was it a nice house?
It was a lovely house, yeah. It was brand new. They'd just been built. They'd come out of the slums of Salford into this brand new house with a garden at the front and a garden at the back. And it was... and it had running hot water with a bathroom.
Wow. What's your earliest memory?
I have an early memory of lying on the couch with my dad, and I must have been 5 years old, and we was watching Batman and Robin. We was watching Batman, and after Batman had finished, it was the news, and the news played Penny Lane by the Beatles and shown a video, and I remember that.
Wow.
I remember seeing Penny Lane and Batman on the same night.
Tell us a bit about your parents.
Yeah.
Back in those days.
Back in those days, my mum always worked as a infant school teacher for five-year-olds. She when you first got to school at the age of
four, five,
she had the class for the newcomers.
Right.
And she went through a whole career doing that.
So all through the days, the Mondays, all through you growing up, your mum was working?
She was working.
Okay. And what about your dad?
My dad, my grandfather got him a job on the papers, newspapers. I think it was the Daily Express, which was in Ancoats in Manchester. So my dad was working there when I was born.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he went on to work at the post office, is that right?
Then he went, he had a couple of other jobs in between, working at a print works, doing printing ink for the newspapers. But he eventually ended up at the post office when I was about 8, 9, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there until the day we said to him, pack your job in, Dan, come with us.
Yeah. Didn't he also have a fish and chip shop?
Don't mention the chip shop.
Anything that could go wrong did go wrong.
The first day in, Derek pulled the cash drawer out and broke his foot.
The freezer broke, so all the fish went bad.
The woman gave us a number to phone if anything went wrong with the fridge. I phoned this number. The man had been dead 5 years that serviced it.
It was an end terrace. The house was an end terrace, so there's a big gable end wall. People used to kick the ball at it. And he looked out the window one day, so he was kicking the ball, and the ball went straight through and into glass in his eyes, and another disaster.
Then, after that, he'd not shut the door properly on the potato machine that peeled the potatoes. And the door flew open. There was a big stone in that looked like a potato and hit Derek in the eye. And he had a big black eye and a big bruise.
And then he went out to... one day he went out to do the potatoes to make them into chips and got stung by a wasp and collapsed on the floor and turned green. He was allergic to wasp stings.
Oh, wow.
So they just about got him to hospital in time before he died of... before he died of a wasp sting. Wow. I think that was the final straw. He just like put it up for sale and like...
Yeah.
That's when he went... That's when he went to the post office.
Okay.
After the fish and chips chip shop.
But Derek's life was... he didn't only have a regular job, did he? He had... I think maybe you and your brother inherited your musical talent from your dad. Tell us about that.
Well, he started off in folk bands, doing folk music, in particular folk club every Sunday night in I think it was in the Stocks pub in Warkden. They had a folk club every Sunday night. So he started off being in a folk band, eventually left that and formed a comedy duo with Barry Seddon, who was also in the folk band. So they went off and then ended up doing the working men's clubs for years. You know, so the postman job was perfect for him. You know, he'd be finished by 12 in the afternoon.
So he was singing and telling jokes at the same time, kind of thing?
Yeah, when they formed the comedy duo.
What was it called?
Derek and Barry Harry, the non-identical twins.
Derek and Barry, who's Barry Harry?
Barry's Barry Seddon.
No. And who's Harry?
That's just made up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And his favourite joke was... Barry was the first test tube baby. His birth sign is Pyrex the dish.
Really?
Terrible joke, but I love it.
Are there any more?
Oh, I've got a CD's worth of jokes.
Really?
We had it transferred when he died. He got it transferred onto
really?
A disc.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
One of his concerts.
Oh, brilliant.
I think it's a Lee Working Men's Club or something like that.
That'd be excellent. Oh, we need to... Maybe we can put a clip into this, actually. That
might
be a good idea.
That'd be
good.
Should
we do that?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Yeah.
Never mind Patrick Steptoe and all that crap in Oakland. Barry was the world's first test tube baby 19 years ago. In fact, his birth sign is Pyrex the dish.
When the Mondays was taking off, my dad had to decide what he wanted to do, whether he was going to stick with Barry and do the working men's clubs or whether he was going to come with his two boys. And he came with us and went on the journey with us.
I mean, that was amazing. My first memory of the first time I met you, your dad was the tour manager and he was just this really cool guy with a really long ponytail at the back of his head, but he was bald.
Bald on top, yeah.
Yeah, and he was only about 5'1", wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a terribly big guy.
Yeah. But you always got the impression that he was, like, totally proud and totally in his element.
Oh, he was. He loved it, yeah. He loved... he did something with my speakers and my Ampeg cabs. He took the speakers out that it came with and put JBLs in there. So it sounded phenomenal. He was always doing little things like that. Yeah. To make a sound better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a very proud man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to cry?
Yeah.
No, I love Dexy. He was
yes, cool. Very small but very, very strong. Yeah. Like Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. And the really cool thing about him was that he really fitted in with the vibe of the band. It wasn't like your dad breathing down your neck. He was kind of one of the lads as well, wasn't he?
He was one of the lads, yeah.
And the crew adored him, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Gaz Whelan says that he grew up with my dad more than he did with his dad.
Right.
He was around a critical age.
Right, so he was Gaz, on the road with him.
Yeah, so Gaz sees him as a father figure as well.
Yeah.
Or saw him as a father figure.
Yeah.
Gaz Whelan's the drummer of the Mondays, and he's known Derek since he was 15.
Oh, Derek did everything. If it wasn't for Derek, we wouldn't have done anything. He brought the PA in. When we got a proper crew and he got on board with the crew, he was great, yeah. He he was. But early on, he had to, you know, he was one in charge of everything, had to keep us in control. But, you know, and we used to make fun of him sometimes, and he used to just ignore us and go on with it. But we, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have left the rehearsal room. We always, and I said, look, before he died, the last time I seen him, I went around and I said to him, you know, just said, thanks, you know, without you, we wouldn't have got anywhere.
What about this? I know he made a lot of sacrifices to actually get you to the point where you were a band that was off and touring. Tell me about that.
Oh, my poor mum, she never got a built-in wardrobes.
Oh.
All the money went on equipment for the band.
I always wanted fitted wardrobes. And every time we'd save the money up for fitted wardrobes, Derek would buy some other equipment for them. And I had to wait till 4 years ago when I moved here to get me fitted wardrobes, and they were already in the bungalow. But I got them eventually, but them fitted wardrobes have gone out of fashion, haven't they?
What, so everything he earned he put into the band for you and Sean?
Yeah, he bought a PA system so we could rehearse properly. He bought me a bass for my 21st birthday. It was either, do you want a party or do you want a bass guitar? And it was like, oh, bass guitar, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's, him and Phil Sachs, who was the Mondays' first proper manager, they used to pay for our rehearsal rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, every week it would be, 1 week my dad would pay, next week Phil would pay, which was great because we moved from rehearsing in a school in Swinton into a proper rehearsal room,
yeah,
you know, where we could go and hang out all day.
So tell me about the very first incarnation of the band. Like, what kind of music were you into at the time when you were about to form the Mondays? What were you listening to?
Oh, I suppose the current stuff was Back to the Bunnymen, Echo and the Bunnymen, New Order. I really liked Orange Juice. Remember them?
Yeah, both of them. Orange Juice.
Loved
yeah.
all that postcard record label stuff. I had a nice big collection of postcard records.
I remember you telling me a story about seeing David Bowie on Top of the Pops.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I've read recently, I know about five other people that saw that clip of Top of the Pops when I was 8 years old.
Tell me about it.
And it changed their life. One of them was Will Sargent from the Bunnymen. He was talking in an interview about the same time and the same show as I was watching when I was 8 years old. I always had Top of the Pops on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So it must have been a Thursday night, 8 years old, and David Bowie comes on doing Starman with a big blue acoustic guitar. I'd never seen a blue guitar before in my life. And he looked like he'd stepped out of another world. And it was like my life changed at that moment.
How?
I wanted to know where he was from and how he got on Top of the Pops and did he write the song, and I was just curious.
And what did it make you feel like? What did it make you think that you needed to do?
That I wanted to do something like that.
Right, so you wanted to be a pop star, or he's more than a pop star, isn't he?
I just wanted to be on Top of the Pops, I think.
Hey, but you achieved that, didn't you?
Of course I did, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be on Top of the Pops like David Bowie doing Starman.
Yeah.
You know, it was a big...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Impact 8 years old, seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like I say, it's like he'd come from another world.
So at that point, you would be at primary school.
Yeah.
So, what? Tell me about primary school. What that was like.
primary, you know, all my school days were like, I only went for the social aspect.
Carl Williams was Paul's best friend in primary school.
Well, he was a good-looking kid, you see, so I never had a girlfriend at school. But Paul had a girlfriend all the time. All the girls was after him, so I used to go to their houses with him, you know, as a mate, just to like, and so, yeah, he always had the girls after him. Always had a girlfriend. You know, he was like, he had the olive skin, he was a good-looking one, you see.
Paul's mum actually taught at Paul and Sean's primary school.
They were as different as chalk and cheese, but they were very, very close when they were little. Funnily enough... That would be Sandra. Come and say hello to Angela.
Where are you, Linda?
I'm in the front room. Oh, say hello to Angela.
Want to say
pew
as well?
No, I'm being interviewed. The year I took Paul to school with me, Sean was starting school, and it got to dinner time, and I said, right, I've got to go in the staff room now, but will you go outside and play with the other children? No, we'll wait at the door for you. And there were square tiles on the floor, and we stood holding hands in these square tiles, and I said, well, I'm going in the staff room to have my lunch. We'll wait here. And they never budged. They were still stood on the same tiles holding hands 3/4 of an hour later when I got back.
I wasn't really into learning stuff, you know, although, you know, I learned to read and write. But I was just more about enjoying the day with my mates at school. Mm-hmm. I hated mathematics, hated stuff like that. Wasn't very academic.
He was never confident. He was always... Veronica used to say, as a young child, the trouble with your Paul, he just does enough to keep his head. He was a very clever lad. But she said, he just does enough to keep his head above the water.
Linda's been friends with Sandra for more than 30 years. And Sandra also happens to be the mum of Gaz Whelan, the Mondays drummer.
Hey, me and Linda could write a book about these tours, couldn't we?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, hey.
Okay, well, tell me.
No, we can't say anything now. It's all
secret. Do you remember Birmingham?
Well, I was on Friday nights, stays on Friday
nights.
Yeah, but
do you remember Birmingham? Oh, we nearly died. Literally.
No, but I always said to you that you're very bright and very intelligent, but you've just not had a great education. That's my take on you. Like, you've got the basics in, like, you've got that basic intelligence and sense of humour, but you obviously didn't really... You didn't go to school, though, from being about 14, did you?
No, I had a job. So when I was 13, that's when I started wagging school. Wagging school is like skipping school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one afternoon, three of us, I think it was Paddy Newman and Patrick O'Reilly and me, went to Manchester on the bus instead of going to school. And I went round all the shops, clothes shops, asking if they had Saturday jobs. And I got one in this really good clothes shop round the corner from the shop that I really wanted to work in, because that had all the cool, real cool stuff in, called Gans Gear. And I got a job round the corner from that. So at 13, I had this Saturday job. By the time I was 14, I wasn't going into school much. I was going working.
Did your mum know?
No, nobody knew.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she not wonder where you were getting all your money from?
No, and the clothes. I was on a scam with the clothes. It was quite easy to hide stuff around the back of the shop and go back for it after the shop had closed.
Oh.
And I was selling, and when I did go in school, I had a big bag of clothes to sell.
Wow, so, you're admitting to a criminal offence there, you do realise that?
I think it's way past.
Is it the stuff of urban legend?
Urban legend, yeah. Yeah. None of this is true. Yeah, instead of going to school, I was going to work.
Yeah.
We were in this hotel and we could see the arena over there and we were here. And there was this great big hedge and we were going to have to walk all the way round.
Yeah.
So we decided... we'd climb this hedge.
Well, you know, us, we can't do anything. I mean, I'm going back a long time, but we weren't very athletic then.
No,
we
but
really.
We were a lot more agile.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're climbing the hedge, and we got on top with our legs over each side.
I was the best salesman on Saturday, one every week. Every week I got the best salesman.
And what was the trick?
How the trick you... was not to pester them, just to give them space.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you flatter them and tell them things look good even if they didn't?
Oh, yeah.
You would?
Yeah, of course I would.
Well, even if it didn't look nice, you would say, oh, that looks really great on you.
I would say it looks great.
Really?
Yeah, just that's all I got sales. But the trick is not to go up and say, can I help you, can I help you, can I help you, can I get you this, get you? Just say, I'm here if you need any help. And right. Give them space. And they'll always come.
I believe you didn't ever really come home with much money, though. Is that right?
No, I usually spent it on clothes.
Yeah.
I got paid in one hand and gave it back in the other hand.
And then took loads of clothes home.
But I did get lots of clothes.
Yeah.
When we realised if we'd have dropped, we'd have been right inside a dam. It was a massive, big lake.
We were stupid. Being clever, taking a shortcut.
We had to get our leg over quick and get back down.
Oh, you did, definitely. Yeah.
And get back down and walk round.
I've been doing this nearly 40 years.
Wow.
About 38 years.
And you're at the same high school as Sean?
Yeah. Yes, he was 3 years above me at school. So when I was a little first year, he was already a big third year.
Right.
You know, and there's... When you're young like that, there's a big age difference.
Right. How was it growing up until the point you were at high school? What was your relationship with him like
with
up
Sean?
Until age 11, yeah?
Pretty good. Although, he was a bit of a bully. I've said that before. You know, I used to suffer from asthma and he'd sit on my chest till I turned blue. You know, yeah. That type of thing. Nice brother. But, you know, it's like, we got on great unless he was being a bully.
But, oh, you should have seen the state of us, yeah.
So we were there, and then we were watching the gig at the arena, and then all of a sudden I said to you, oh, it's raining in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't raining in. It was something very nasty.
Yeah.
What?
Well, we were down below and it's somebody up above. Couldn't be bothered going to the toilet.
Go to the toilet.
Oh, we had to get out of the way quick, didn't we?
Yeah.
What kind of things did you do when you were getting on great? Like
probably playing records.
Really?
Yeah. We always got records on a Saturday afternoon with our bands. So I'd be back home and playing records. We'd go round to my Auntie Mary's house, where Matt and Pat Carroll lived.
They're the designers that designed all the iconic Mondays covers.
Yeah, the Central Station design is Matt, Pat and Karen. But we'd go around to their house with our records and they'd play their records. So it was like, it was a record fest.
And what were these records? Which ones?
Oh, definitely lots of Bowie, Roxy Music. I'm sure I had a Status Quo record as well somewhere.
Which one?
Caroline.
Really?
Yeah, I bought that with my Spens.
The Sweet. I was
Sweet,
into the Sweet.
Yeah,
Donny
Sweet.
Osmond, David Cassidy. You wouldn't have liked that.
Wouldn't
them,
have had
you?
Donny and David, no.
No.
Definitely the Sweet. Slade.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely had some Slade. And you could buy these. Top of the Pops albums.
Oh, yeah, with the snide artists.
Yeah, yeah,
they were
the
really
cover
bad,
versions.
Well, they were terrible, but they were so cheap.
Yeah.
Get them at Woolworths.
Get
I think
them
they were
at
79
Woolworths
pence, weren't they?
We got the same one, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They had loads
got
of
it
them.
Home and put it on and thought, there's something wrong with the song. Then worked out it was cover versions.
Do you remember that they then started doing 20 Fantastic Hits by the original artists?
Yes.
Volume 1, 2. I've got volumes 2 and 3 of those. That was my introduction to music. Same era.
What year was that then?
I would have been about 11, so you would have been about 9, maybe?
Yeah, 9.
Yeah.
That's about
right. And it was like T-Rex, the Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Slade.
I was into Fleetwood Mac around that time.
Oh, my God, he was into Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, that album It's phenomenal. What's it called? What's that album called? Rumours. Rumours by Fleetwood Mac.
That was later than...
No, it wasn't. I got that when I was at school.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant album. So what music would you say influenced you in terms of, oh, I want to be like them, or I want to be as good as them, or... What about you? You've not mentioned funk.
Funk came a bit later.
Disco as well. It was the whole disco era.
Disco and punk and good funk came around at the same time of probably 76. Yes, definitely 76, especially in New York, where the punk scene was kind of born at the same time as disco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people was either you're a punk or you're into disco, one or the other. But I was into both. I was into music no matter what it was.
In the house that we lived in then, it had warm air, central heating. And there was like ducts in the wall with vents. And the two of them, whenever they didn't want me and Derek to listen to what they were saying, they'd give each other the nod and go upstairs. But what they didn't realise, when they were talking, it acted as a tannoy, and we could hear it coming out of the heating vents, every word that they said. Well, this particular day, Paul came in with something under his arm, and Sean said, "What's he got?" I said, "I don't know." Anyway, we soon found out he'd bought, because in his bedroom, Derek had built this unit for him, and he had his hi-fi, his stereo, and his speakers, and his woofers and tweeters, or whatever you call them, all set up.
What about Motown as well?
Motown, yeah. That goes back to going back round to my Auntie Mary's, and they had a collection of Motown singles.
Marvin Gaye?
Oh, yeah, Marvin Gaye. Temptations,
yeah.
Marvin Gaye.
You said that the very first time I interviewed you, you said you were into the Temptations. That was in 1991. And you also said that you listened to Lionel Richie on Radio 1. Do you remember When a Child is Born?
No, not Ryan, not Lionel. It was...
All these years I thought that was Lionel Richie.
Google it.
All right, hang on.
What's his name? Let's see if I can beat Google. Johnny Mathis. Am I going to admit I actually bought When a Child is Born?
Nice song.
It's a good song. It's stood the test of time every Christmas.
Yeah.
So this particular day had not been upstairs long when we heard this music. And we heard, "A Child is Born." And it was Johnny Mathis. He bought the record because he liked him. But he didn't want us to laugh at him. And he was singing along with Johnny Mathis. But what he didn't realise, it was booming out of the central heating system.
So, tell me about high school. You were in 2 years below Sean, so was it kind of uncool for him to hang out with you because you were too young?
Yeah, by the time I got to secondary school, Sean had gone into the other half of the school, so we were separated. We didn't see each other at playgrounds or dinner because he was older. So I didn't really see much of him at school. I did get quite a few times off teachers, "Oh, so you're Sean Ryder's brother, are you?" He kind of made a name for himself as being the class clown. He was very funny.
Yeah.
He was a very funny class clown.
And what did people expect from you as a result of that?
Probably to be as boisterous as him. But I'm very quiet compared to Sean.
Yeah, I mean, you're two completely different personalities, aren't you? Just tell us a bit more about the differences between the two of you.
He's very outspoken. He's very narcissistic. It's all about Sean. And I think people thought I was going to be much more like that at school.
Yeah.
You know, but they soon discovered I was the quiet one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what, did you share the same friend group outside of school?
Only cousins. We'd always go around to cousins at the same time. But he had his friends, I had my friends. You know.
And the two didn't mix?
No, because when you're that age, that three-year age gap is massive.
It wasn't 3 years, it's 19 months.
19 months.
Between you. It's only a year and a half.
Oh, yeah, still a big difference.
But it's two school years,
two
so that's pretty
years.
Huge, isn't it?
Yeah. So, no, I had my own mates, he had his mates, and we didn't really We didn't really mix.
I asked Gaz Whelan, the drummer with the Mondays, what he thought about how different the brothers were.
No, they are different, but they're also very similar. It's like me and Paul are very, very different, but really similar. I mean, you know, literally, I know that this sounds really cheesy and cliche, but we could almost read each other's minds. We'd finish each other's sentences, and I'd know what he was thinking. He'd know what I was thinking. He'd say things to each other and burst out laughing. So, I know that sounds, this sounds really cliche, and it sounds, you know, because he's gone now and all that, but he was like a brother to me. He was like an old, 'cause I didn't have an older brother. I had an older sister, so he was like an older brother to me. He really was.
Do you think that if there hadn't been that sibling rivalry, that the Mondays would have had many more albums and been more productive and had more output?
Ooh, that's a good question. There's a many number of things why we didn't. You know, we all blame each other, and we were all to blame, every one of us. I'd like to talk more about it, because it's been quite cathartic, that. I feel just got a shiver down my spine there. He's fucking here, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he is.
They've all just got a really cold shit. There's all that fucking weird.
Really?
Oh, it's boiling in here.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm not, oh, that is fucking weird. Oh, it's not going either. Oh, that's not going. Oh, that's very strange. Oh, fucking hell, yeah, that's going now. Oh, that's very weird. You know, when you get cold shivers, they last for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That's very weird that my heart's going now. That's fucking weird, that. That was very weird. Fucking hell, right, I'm going to go. I need a pint.
All right, thanks, Gaz.
Don't speak again, please, Andrew. Don't speak again. Loads more anecdotes and things about him. I want to speak about him a bit more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Oh.
So that's it for this episode. Please join us again next time. There's a moment in the next episode that sends a shiver down my spine every time I hear it. Just have a listen to this.
He's your only brother. He's your only sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very close when you were growing up. It must hurt you that you don't have a relationship with him now.
It helps because I don't like the person he became.
Right.
I don't like who he is.
Do you hope that one day you'll reconcile and be friends again?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think he would feel if he got a call one day saying that you were dead?
doesn't that just send a shiver down your spine? I can't believe I asked that question. Please join us next time and you'll find out what he said. Please don't forget to like and share the podcast and spread the word about it. It's really what Paul would have wanted. Thank you so much for listening. Please go to our website, which is paulryder.tv. There you'll find links to all of our social media. Join in the discussion on Facebook. And also you can pre-order his book and buy his music. So it's like a one-stop shop for everything. And speaking of music, we're going to play you a bit of his music at the end of every episode. This is one of my favourite Big Arm tracks. It's called Sun Rays.
Thanks again for listening. We will be back with loads more in the next episode. See you then. Bye. This project was brought to you by the fab team at Glistening Productions. Cameras were by Richard Venti and Phil Smethurst. Offline editing was by Phil Smethurst, Richard Hayward, Terence Holloway and Richard Venti. Online editing by Richard Hayward. Titles were by Matt Carroll from Central Station. Music, of course, by Paul Ryder and Big Arm. The associate producer was Sarah Walters. And it was produced and directed by Angela Smith. The executive producers are Angela Smith and M. Jacoby. And special thanks must go to Linda Ryder, Sandra Whelan, Gary Whelan and Carl Williams. But also, of course, to the late, great star of the show, Paul Ryder. Sunday, got a suitcase full of dough. I know where to go. I'll send for you in 9 days' time. I'll be your dog. No stopping me now, I'm on the move. I love the sun, sunny days, sunrise, sunrise. I love the sun, sunny days, sunrise. What I got, and Jamaica Beach is now my home. I love the sun, sunny days, sunrise, sunrise. I love the sun, sunny days.
Remember at GMEX though, when we were on the stage and it started moving?
Oh, yeah.
That was frightening. Yeah.